vision this morning. When we sung that song, Scars, and I just want to share it for some reason. It's for somebody. The only thing that'll be in heaven that's man-made is the scars that Jesus Christ has got in the palm of his hands. Only thing will be there. Some nail-scarred hands. In Zechariah 13 and verse 8, I'd ask you to stand as we read, reverence the reading of God's word. This will not be our text. We'll turn there in just a moment. Zechariah chapter number 13 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Mark, if you'll turn with me to the gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter number 6. Our reading this morning will come from verse number 34. What it takes to move the master. Maybe this morning you're wondering what it takes to make God move. What it is that makes God move. Preacher, I need God to move in my life. What will it take for God to move? And I know it's of God and of nothing else. I'm going to give you four simple things this morning of what it takes to move the master. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make all set down by companies upon the green grass. And they set down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I thank you for the nail-scarred hands this morning. Whoo, glory. Lord God, I thank you for the scars that's in your hands this morning. Lord God, you took the scars so we wouldn't have to. Lord God, you took the punishment and you took the pain on the cross of Calvary so we wouldn't have to. And Lord God, this morning, as we look into the gospel according to Mark this morning, I pray this morning that we see what you show us, that what it takes to move you this morning. Lord God, there's a lot of things that move a lot of people, but there's only one thing that moves you this morning. And Lord God, I pray as we look at this in the text this morning, that we realize what it takes to move the master. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord God, you know me this morning. I'm just a big old mess of clay, but you are the potter. Lord God, if you see fit, put me back on the wheel this morning. Father God, continue to make me in my life that I'd be according to your will. Lord God, whoever this morning is has got a little lump in their clay. Lord God, I pray this morning they'll allow you to put them back on the wheel and make all things new. Father, I love you. And I thank you for your son, Jesus. And I thank you for the cross of Calvary. And I thank you for the blood that saved my soul. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we look at the text this morning, I'm prompt to ask a question this morning. What does it take to move the master? What does it take to move the master? All the way through my King James Bible here, there's places that I have sermons that God has moved on me in my quiet time, in my quiet places, and I just take it and I just write the sermon in my margin of the Bible. And this morning as I was up getting ready, I had something else written in that notebook over there that I was studying for the week and preparing for the week. And as I was studying this morning, I God prompted my heart to this text this morning on what it takes to move the master. Do you know this morning the storms that are raging in your life? It does not move God, not 1 minute. No problem that you go through moves God. He doesn't get all wringing up and wet with sweat in heaven. He doesn't wring his hands with your problems. He doesn't wring your hands with what you got going on this morning, the storm that you're in. It does not move God, not one skinny minute. Friends, I want you to know this morning, he didn't come to die for the storm, but he come to die for the individual that's in the storm this morning. Can I get an amen? Hey, can I say to you this morning that your problem, hey, does not move God, not one skinny minute. Hey, God, don't get moved by problems. He is the problem solver this morning. You say, preacher, what is it that moves God? Hey, there ain't but one thing that moves God, and that's people this morning. People move God. Hey, when God's sitting on the throne, and he looked down into the Garden of Eden and sin had been committed. You know what he did? He didn't look away from it. He went right to where Adam was. He said he went in the cool of the day and he said, Adam, where art thou? Hey, friends, this morning he may be calling your name and asking you, where are you at this morning? Hey, with a man named Jesus this morning, all the way through the book, he looked around. And when he got to that place, and we know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Friends, this morning as we come in and we look here in the text in verse number 34. Look with me with what the Bible says. What does it take to move God this morning? Number one, it takes a helpless people this morning. He says in the text, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Hey, he didn't see the problem they was in. He didn't see the place that they was at. He just seen them people this morning. Hey, when you come into his house this morning, I'm glad to announce to you, hey, he knows your problem. He knows your pain. Hey, but he's more impressed with you than he is with anything. He wants to move on you and help you this morning. He says, verse number 34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people. And when he saw them people, he was moved with compassion. This morning, the God I serve this morning, he has compassion. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know the world we live in. He's got compassion for every man. He's got compassion for the white man. He's got compassion for the black man. He's got compassion for the murderer. He's got compassion for the child molester. He's got compassion for the one that's a homosexual this morning. Friends, I want you to know on the authority of God's word, he has compassion this morning. And people is what moves God this morning. It excites me as your pastor to tell you, hey, that when a person gets to a place and they're helpless this morning, God has compassion on that individual this morning. That ought to get an amen right there. Amen. And he says this morning, what it takes to move the master, number one, is helpless people. Look what he says. And was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd and had begun to teach them many things. This morning I want you to know, as we learn about God, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, he shall not want. And if he is our shepherd, you know what he relates you and I as? He relates us as sheep this morning. And you know what a sheep will do? A sheep will wander. A sheep will get in trouble. A sheep will go where they're not supposed to go. And you know who goes gets them when they're in a place that they're not supposed to be? I want you to know this morning, there's only one who'll go get them in them places, and his name's Jesus this morning. He said that he's seen these people, and they was in a helpless place, and they needed a way out. They didn't know what to do. The story's told about a 10-story building. It was on fire, and then as it was on fire, there's a little girl, and she was trapped up there. And that little girl, she was up there all alone. She would have been about 12 to 13 year old. And the little girl, she was up there, and the fire was getting hot, and it was getting heavy, and it was going to melt her down if she didn't do something. And the fire department couldn't go in. And you know what they did? They put a trampoline at the bottom, and the fire chief looked up at the little girl and he said, hon, if you will just jump, hey, you're in a helpless position and you need help. If you'll just jump, it'll be okay. It was getting hot and it done got smoky and she barely could breathe. And she was ready to die in that shape, in that helpless situation. Hey, but you know what? It wasn't long. They got a hold of her daddy. And I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God when daddy shows up, don't you? I thank God when the master shows up. He sees how helpless I am, and he'll show up anyway. And said her daddy walked up, and he said, baby, just jump. And it said it wasn't but just a second. The little girl jumped out of that 10-story building right down there on that mat, and she was saved. And the fire chief went to her and asked her, said, baby, I want to know something. Well, I told you to jump because you was in a helpless situation. Why didn't you jump? She said, because I didn't recognize your voice. Hey, but when my daddy told me to jump, I recognized his voice. I knew I was helpless and I needed a way out. And the only way I could find help is when my daddy told me to jump. some. Hey, this morning you may be in a helpless position and you may need help. Hey, the daddy's calling for you this morning. God Almighty's calling for you this morning. He said if you're in a helpless position, help is on the way. Can I get an amen? He said he got to a helpless place and he needed help. These people, they was there and he seen them and he looked out and they just needed help. The world we live in, the church that we attend here, we need help. And the only place that help's going to come from is God Almighty. Hey, but not only did he help helpless people, but look here, he helps hungry people. Look what he says here in verse number 35. Not only helpless people will he help, but he'll help hungry people. Hey, did you know that you can't feed somebody that ain't hungry? God puts an instinct on the inside that tells you it's time to eat. By the way, you can tell. He puts a little ticker on the inside that tells you when. Do you have to tell yourself you're hungry? Now, some of our tickers go off more than others, I understand. Mine goes off about 20 times a day. Brandy fixed me 2 cheeseburgers yesterday about 5. Last night about 10 o'clock, I said, baby, I sure would like 2 more cheeseburgers. She said, you're going to eat 2 more? I was hungry. Let me give you this, though. Not only does he know helpless people, but he knows hungry people. You ever been around somebody that's hungry? They'll eat anything that's available. You say, I don't like that. You ain't very hungry. I don't eat that. You ain't never been hungry. You've never been hungry. Well, preacher, I don't eat that stuff. I will not eat that stuff. You've not been hungry enough. You've always had what you wanted. You know, I thought, man, I'd never eat that. I'd never eat a hot dog and soup. And I can't stand ramen noodles. But you go to the county jail, and guess what? You'll get hungry enough. You know what you'll eat? You'll eat hot dogs, you'll eat soup, and ramen noodle will become your friend. Friends, this morning, look what he says in the text. He said he'll help helpless people, but he'll help hungry people. Look in verse number 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now is the time far past. He said, there's nothing there. This place is barren. There's no food there, and these people are hungry. What are we going to do? Friends, when you come to the house of God, if you come hungry, you will be filled. Amen? You come in this place hungry. You come in this place helpless before Almighty God and tell him, Lord God, I'm in a helpless place, and I'm hungry for your righteousness. I'm hungry for your mercy. I'm hungry for your grace. I'm hungry for only what you can give. And I want you to know this morning, he will fill you up if you're hungry this morning. The Bible says in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He says this morning, look here, and when the day was now far spent, it was done all past gone, his disciples come unto him and said, they want to know, Lord God, what are we going to do for food? Where are we going to find food? Where are we going to have food to feed these people? Folks, today, can I tell you something? All you need to be filled spiritual is right here in this word. Right here in this word. This word will do something to you nothing else will. Because this word is God Almighty. This word is Jesus Christ. And it is a living word this morning. It's not a dying word. It's a living word. And when it comes inside of you and you digest this word, it ain't long. You'll become alive in Christ Jesus. But look what he says here. He says that he helps helpless people. He moves toward hungry people. But let me give you this. He moves toward humble people. Not only when they're hungry, not only when they're helpless, but when they get to that place, what moves the master is when they become humble. When they get to a place in their life, they become humble and they need God to move. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you was in a position, and if God didn't move, it wasn't going to work? If God didn't move, it wasn't going to work. When's the last time you got so, I'm talking about God will move on you. What moves the master? What makes God move? What makes him tick? What makes him? For he shall send his son, Jesus, and he shall save his people. He shall save his people from their sins. What moves him? People. People. He died on the cross for people. What's in the building this morning? What are we? We're the church and we are the people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. There you go. He says, no, if you want to see God move, Union Chapel, if we want to see God move in a way like we've never seen before, hey, there's a new year coming, amen? But we serve the same God. What he did then, he can do now. Look what he says here. He says what it takes to move the master. Number one, it takes helpless people. Number two, it takes hungry people. And number three, it takes humble people. Look what he says here. in verse number 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. You know what they did not do when it was time to eat? They helpless, didn't have nothing to eat. Man, they was hungry, but they become humble. You know what they did not do when it got time to eat? They did not do this. You know what huffing means? You're dissatisfied with what you just heard. You're dissatisfied with what you just heard. You don't like what just come out of that other individual's mouth. One thing these people did, Brother Hagin, I want you to know, they did not huff. They humbled. They humbled. They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Brother J.D., you know what they did? They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Brother Jake, you know what they did? They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Brother Lee, you know what they did? They humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. Once they humbled themselves, they was able to be fed, no longer helpless, no longer hungry, but they become humble. This morning I want to share with you right here, let's just go right here. Look what he says in verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the five loaves and the two fished, here's what he did. They took them and he looked to heaven. Folks, this morning you've got the word of God in your hand. If you've come in helpless, if you've come in hungry, you can be humble before this day's over. You can take this word of God and look to heaven and bless it and say, Lord God, I want this word to feed my life like never before. You know what he'll do in your life and he'll do in my life? He'll feed you and he'll feed me like never before. Look what he says here in verse number 40. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish divided he among them all. I want to give you this point here. Not only was they in their life at a state where they were helpless, didn't know what to do. Have you ever been there? You just didn't know what to do. Helpless. Man, 2020 has been a helpless year. Nothing you can do. You just had to put your mask on, go on. Nothing we can do. We're helpless. You say, what's going to help this plague, preacher? Ain't but one thing going to help this plague, and his name's Jesus. Preacher, we've been helpless. Yes. Preacher, we're hungry to get back to what it used to be. Amen? What if God said, I don't want you to go back to what it used to be. I want you to go bigger and better. I want you to see me in a way like never before. I want you to take five loaves and two fish and watch what I can do. Church, that's where I'm at leading in this new year. But for the scars in his hands. I could tell you, if he didn't have them scars, there'd be no hope for you and I, but he does. There's hope. No longer are we helpless. Because them nail-scarred hounds in Zechariah that he talked about, no longer do we have to be hungry. You don't have to be spiritually hungry. But once we get into that word of God and we start reading that word, you know what the word will do? It will humble you. It will humble an individual. One that humbled me more than anything is the book of Romans, where he said, let God be true and every man a liar. Folks, I want you to know, when you read this word of God, whatever it says, it's the truth. And if anything don't line up with this book, it's a lie. When they got to this place and he looked out and he seen 5,000, not counting the men and women, and he seen them hungry, me and you, we would have went crazy. We'd have called Danelli's pizza place. We told Sister Christie, call that place and get them cooking pizzas. We on our way. Jesus didn't fret. He didn't fear. He didn't do nothing. You know what he did? He said, just what you got. Bring me what you got. This morning you may be in a place, and he's laid this on me. Maybe you're in the place this morning, you're broke, you're bent, you don't know where to turn or where to go. You feel like there's a wall. Just bring him what you got. You say, well, it ain't much. It don't have to be much. I don't know what to do with what I got. It don't matter. He'll show you what to do with what you got. He says this morning, if you're helpless, just come to him. If you can't see clearly, come to him. This morning, if you're helpless, if you're hungry this morning, you want more, just come to him. This morning you're in a place and you say, preacher, what do I need to do? Just come on up here. Get humble. Because you know when he moves the most? He moves on his people. He shall save his people from their sin. Not only when you're helpless, not only when you're hungry, not only when you're humble, but when you're his people, that's what moves the master. That's what moves the master. I'm going to show you. He didn't give that bread to be given out by the people that was hungry. A man that's hungry can't give out bread. He ain't got no bread to give. Why didn't he get the bread to the 5,000 and say, here, you give it to the next person? They didn't have nothing to give. They was empty. Look what he did, who he gave it to. Whoo, glory. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. This morning, if you're in the house this morning, you're his disciple. He's giving you something to give to the world. He gave to his disciples and set before them, and the 2 fish divided he among them all, and when they did all eat and were filled. When you come to the master's table, you will be filled. When you come to that table, they were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish. And they that eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you helpless this morning? You have no idea where to turn or what to do. You need direction. The master will move and help you if you're helpless. This morning, you're sitting in here and you're so hungry spiritually. You know what the master will do? He'll move in and help you. He'll fill you. This morning, you're sitting in here and you say, preacher, it's been a long time since I've humbled myself before Almighty God. When he breaks the bread, he'll humble you. He'll help you. But I ask you a question this morning. Are you his people? Have you been born again this morning, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If you have, he's given you something to do, and that's to feed others this morning. I ask you this morning a question. Are you doing what it takes to move the master? My Father, my God, as I bow in your presence, Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. Father God, I thank you for the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you're in the house this morning. I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your kindness that you show upon us. Lord God, just as you've put that ticker on the inside for physical hunger, you've put the same thing on the inside for spiritual hunger. And Lord God, the only thing that can fill spiritual hunger is you. The world can't fill it. Our ways can't fill it. The only thing that can fill physical and spiritual hunger is God and God alone. Lord, whoever walked in this morning, they feel helpless and they don't know what to do, I pray they'd come to an old-timey altar and they'd do business with you this morning. Lord God, the one that walked in this morning, they feel like they're starving to death spiritually. I pray they come to the altar and do business with you this morning. Father, that one that just needs to humble down and get behind you this morning, I pray they just humble on down. Lord God, the ones in here this morning that are your people. Lord, I pray this coming up new year, we just continue to pray, plead the blood of Jesus on this place. But most of all, on your people. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask it in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. I ask you to stand as we